preach on a Bible character today, a person from the Bible, and I let him choose. He chose Matthew. So I thought that's not entirely inappropriate for the season that's coming up. I know right now everyone's still thinking about Christmas and New Year's just around the corner. But with the New Year also comes tax season. And so this morning we want to have an audit of the Apostle Matthew. We're going to audit the Apostle Matthew and see just how he stands. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9 that was read to us. As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Matthew was just sitting there taking up taxes. There were all sorts of taxes at that time, and they took them up in a variety of different ways. And of course, it talks receipt of custom. That's a type of tax that was taken up. Custom was a type of tax that was taken up. And they didn't do it quite the way we do it. They didn't have to fill out paperwork and send in a check or a money order to a big agency somewhere. Instead, they had tax collectors around all over the place. And for certain things, they had to collect that tax. And just like now, people haven't changed that much over 2,000 years since then. Most people don't like to pay taxes. We'd rather do without that, wouldn't we? Doesn't matter whether if you go to the grocery store and you figure out how much you think it's going to cost, and then you find out you're a dollar short because you forgot the taxes. Or you go out of state and buy a car and come back to get the tag and find out it's going to be another $450. Lots of things that we like to pay taxes. It surprises sometimes, and they're not very nice things for a lot of people. In fact, because of that, many people don't like IRS agents. You know, if somebody works for the IRS, they don't tell a whole lot of folks about that because people get upset at them. I guess probably IRS agents are second on the list probably only to lawyers for people not liking them. People just don't like an IRS agent, especially the one that comes out and audits you. They sure don't want to see that coming. They don't want him coming. Times haven't changed really that much. People haven't changed that much. The same way that people today here in our country feel about the IRS and feel about having to file taxes and having to pay those taxes all the time, everywhere they go, that's the same way they felt about it. They didn't like taxes and they didn't like the people that collected the taxes. Well, Matthew was a tax collector. So that tells you automatically there was a certain portion of the population that wasn't going to like him very much. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, we see his other name mentioned as well. It says that after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. He said unto him, Follow me. Publican was another term that was used to describe a tax collector. Perhaps you remember the parable that Jesus told about the Pharisee and the publican that went up to the temple to pray. Well, that term publican was one that was used in a very derogatory way by a lot of people. And those publicans or tax collectors were often lumped in with prostitutes and sinners. And in fact, that parable that Jesus tells about the Pharisee that goes up to the temple to pray, he says, Oh, and I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men, and even like this publican. He looks down on that man. He said, I'm better than that man. Why? Because that man collects taxes? Yeah, that's what the Pharisee thought. He thought just because of that man's job, because of the job he had, that he wasn't a worthy individual. And he thought he had him pegged. He thought he knew everything about that fellow just because he knew what job he had. Oh, we do the same thing today, don't we? We say, well, you can't trust that fellow no more than a used car salesman or something like that. Well, they're honest used car salesmen, aren't they? Oh, certainly they're honest. But somehow that particular industry has gotten the reputation of being dishonest, and everybody lumps them in together. They don't think of a person individually, they think of a whole group. Well, we do that in a lot of areas, a lot of people do that. When we do that from one race to another, it's called racism. When we do it in other areas, it's called bigotry. But many times, people just assume that they know something about somebody just because of some superficial, external factor. Well, tax collectors have bad reputation. And some of them deserved it, I'm sure. There were some of them that had done those bad things. And it's, you know, we could talk about how sometimes lawyers have bad reputation. I've not met all that many lawyers. The ones I've met seem nice enough to me. I guess it depends on what they're doing and what area of the law they're working in. For those of us who've ever had somebody commit a crime against us and had to take it to court and have the DA prosecute it, well, that lawyer's on your side. On the other hand, if we're the one in trouble and the lawyer's after us, then we don't like that lawyer too well. You know, the old saying that says, 99% of the lawyers give the rest of them a bad name. But that's kind of the way they thought about it in Bible times with the tax collectors. Maybe there's one tax collector out there that's not bad, but the rest of them are not. And it bore itself out with some of the ones that we read about. Do you remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but he was great in stature. He was a tax collector. And people feared him because of that. You remember the promise that he made the Lord? He said, if I wronged anybody, I'll give them back fourfold. Now, chances are that if he's saying that, he's repenting of the fact that he's done that. He's made the determination he's going to pay them back for what he's done. Well, that was what the law required. If you stole something from somebody, you had to give them back four times. As much as you had taken. That's what the law of Moses said. And so he was basically just telling Jesus that he was going to live up to what the law demanded of him for having taken taxes, more taxes than were due. Jesus spoke to the tax collectors and told the tax collectors, don't take more than is due. He told the soldiers different things. You know, he talked to different groups, and one of the groups was the tax collectors. And he told that group, don't take more than you're supposed to take. You see, that was kind of the custom with some of them. Some of them were crooked. And even though the tax might have been a talent, well, they charged a talent 5 shillings so they could get the shillings and put them in their own pocket. So they got paid. They got a certain salary or a certain amount that they were supposed to get. But they would sometimes figure, well, nobody will know if I up it a little bit. Nobody knows how much it is. And then, let's think about that for a minute. Suppose a store, Walmart, or Piggly Wiggly, or any of the stores, decided, you know what, let's just charge a little extra tax. When we ring up the bill, instead of 8%, we'll put in 9%. That won't be much. Nobody will notice. And probably nobody would. And they'd get a little extra money then. Well, that's what some of these tax collectors were doing at this time. I guess that's not as bad as the one IRS agent whose initials were IR, and then his last name started with an S, and he took some checks that were made out to the IRS and just put his last name on there and went to cash them himself. He said he got several $100,000 before they caught him. He said, there's somebody crooked in every occupation. There's no doubt about that. These guys had that reputation for being that way. And from what we see, the admonitions that Jesus gives, the information we see about Zacchaeus, maybe it was deserved on a large part of the portion of it. And of course, I'm sure there were some honest ones too, and I imagine Matthew was one of those. Jesus chose Matthew to be an apostle. Matthew was chosen as an apostle. And of course, we know that he wrote the Gospel of Matthew. He wrote that entire book. And it's very interesting that he was chosen, because said earlier, the Jews were not fond of tax collectors. But Jesus didn't shy away from people just because of what other people thought. And so we see Luke chapter 5 and verse 29. After Jesus has told Levi or Matthew to follow me, then in verse 29 it says, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him. So here we see then Levi, you know, he said, follow me, and he followed him. And then he made him a feast and invited him to his house to feed him, to provide for him, for Jesus. And so here they are, Levi, who was a tax collector, a publican, and some of the other publicans, all there together, and there were others as well. And notice then what happens when the scribes and Pharisees show up. Verse 30 says, and they murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? You see that? They're just linked together. Publicans and sinners, like they just belong together. That's the group that they're in. And they're not, why do you eat with them? You mean it's because this fellow has a job collecting taxes, you shouldn't eat with him? You shouldn't collect taxes. That's what they were indicating by their statement. So we see, though, that Matthew was chosen, in Mark chapter 3, in verses 17 and 18, we see a listing of the 12. And in verse 18, we see Matthew listed. Andrew and Philip, Bartholomew and Matthew, and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite. So there in Mark chapter 3, Levi, or Matthew, is chosen by Jesus. And then here he is sitting at his house eating. And did Jesus tell them, I didn't realize these were publicans and sinners I was eating with. I guess we better all leave. Come on, you guys, let's get out of here. No, Jesus refuted them, the scribes and Pharisees, instead. He said, wait a minute, you're the ones that are in the wrong here. He said, it's not, and this is a quite famous saying by Jesus, a lot of people know it, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And as Christians, obviously, we have to be concerned about who we associate with. We have to be sure that we don't get ourselves in situations where we're going to be tempted to yield to that temptation. But at the same time, as Christians, it's our job to help the Lord by reaching out to the lost. And you can't do that if you don't go to where the lost people are. And those lost people are sinners. They're going to be sinners. Now that doesn't mean that we have to go and hang out with them while they're committing sin and be involved in those. I've seen some religious people that think that's the way to reach them. You be just as awful as they are, and then they'll listen to you and talk about you. That won't work that way. What we do is we go and talk to them and show them the difference that the Lord's made in our life. How we would maybe used to be like them. Not anymore. Just do better than that. The Lord's turned me around. And Matthew could have done that. He could have gone back to all of his publican friends and say, you know what? Maybe I used to cheat people on their taxes too. I don't do that anymore. I'm following the Lord, and I know that what's right. He could have been a great influence on all of those of his profession. And certainly there were a lot in his profession. But then we see something very important, that Matthew cooperated with people who had hated him in the past. Matthew didn't hold grudges. He didn't refuse to follow Jesus just because some of the people who were also following Jesus might have been people who didn't like him and didn't like people of his profession. He learned to cooperate with them. And we see that in Luke chapter 6. 6 and verses 14 and 15. Now this is the disciples again listed, the 12 that Jesus chose and named the apostles. And they were, in verse 14, Simon, and he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew. Now look at verse 15. Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes. Now that phrase, Zelotes, after the name of Simon. Simon was also known as Simon the Canaanite. That's the term of where he was from. But the term Zelotes referred to a particular Jewish faction. We would know it better as the Zealots. Zealot means Z-E-A-L, zeal. And then at the end of it, you also have L-O-T-S, lots. You can put those together. You've got a lot of zeal. And that's what they had. They were very, even militantly, anti-Roman government. Now think about that for a minute. The tax collectors, like Matthew, were collecting money for the Roman government. And the zealots, like Simon, were ready to fight with weapons. You know, we're not talking about, you know, they were going to do a boycott of the Roman Games or the Olympic Games or something. I mean, no, they were going to, they wanted to kill the Romans. They considered the Romans to be an invading force who had come and taken over their country. Now, imagine if somebody came and took over the United States tomorrow. There would be a certain portion of our population, maybe even some here, who would want to rise up and kill them all and fight them off and get our country back. Well, that's the way Simon felt. Now, there would also be some who would collaborate with that new government or that new group that came and took over. There'd be quite a clash between those two groups, wouldn't there? Well, that's exactly the way it was in the New Testament time. Israel had been taken over by Rome. There were some, like Matthew, who just accepted that as the inevitable and went to work for the Roman government. There were some, like Simon, who couldn't stand the idea of a Roman being in his country. And they were willing to do anything to get them out of there again. In fact, it was the zealots, along with some other radical Jewish groups, who fought against the Romans and caused the destruction of the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. That's what Simon was. Jesus picked both of these two men to be apostles in his tight-knit group. Talk about opposites attracting. Well, I don't know if they attracted. It's amazing they didn't get into a fist fight. Do you think about how Jesus changed people's minds? The fact that he could take one man from way over here, another man from way over here, and bring them together. So that we see at the Last Supper and other times as well, they sat down at the same table and ate together. They walked together. They spent time together. And that's the power that Jesus has. As we look at Matthew, and we see there, certainly Simon would have been one who, before Jesus came along, he would have just as soon spat on Matthew and talked to him. Maybe even worse. He considered, as did many of the Jews, considered tax collectors to be traitors. They considered them the way we think about Benedict Arnold. Or the way that we might think about someone who sold secrets to the Russians. Or, I mean, on and on, all those ways, the ways that we think about those things. They considered tax collectors. You're working for the people who are oppressing us. You're on their side. You're a traitor. And that's the way many of the Jews felt. And the amazing thing about that is that Matthew's gospel is the one written primarily for the Jews. Matthew's gospel is written primarily for the Jews. He goes back into the Old Testament and quotes Old Testament prophecy more than any of the others. He deals with the Jewish law. likely despised by many Jews, to be his ambassador to the Jews. God works in amazing and sometimes mysterious ways. But that shows the power that God has, the power that Christ has, to be able to take someone who would have been hated by many people and to turn that around to where he has become the one who could reach out to those people and help bring them to Jesus. But we need to learn a few things from this audit of the Apostle Matthew. First of all, we need to see that we should not judge someone because of their past. We all have past. And hopefully, if we've grown and learned, we're all ashamed of some of those things that we did in those past. But there's no reason to judge someone where they are today because of what they've done in the past. You take that person from where they are today, and you say, okay, what are we going to do from here? And then, of course, we need to see that Jesus reached out to all. He reached out to the publicans and sinners. He reached out to the zealots. He reached out to the scribes and Pharisees, too. Some of the scribes and Pharisees followed him. Some of the priests followed him. Some of the zealots, like Simon, followed him. And some of the tax collectors, like Matthew and Zacchaeus, followed him. Now, we don't know about some of those, how faithful they remain. We know Matthew wrote a gospel, even during facing persecution for the cause of Christ. He remained faithful, as far as we know, up to death. Of course, traditionally, he was killed for the cause of Christ. But that's just tradition. The Bible doesn't tell us what he did or what happened to him after the book of Acts. Chapter 2 is the last time that Matthew is mentioned. But we see that Jesus reached out to everybody, and we should too. Sometimes we are so quick to judge somebody and say, well, that person never obeyed the gospel. Or, I don't really think that what that person does for me. Today we might look at certain groups and think they're not worthy to have the gospel hot, and we need to change that. We might look at him and say, well, that fella runs a liquor store. Well, he can change. We might say, well, that woman's a prostitute. She can change. Lots of the people that Jesus dealt with had been involved in things as bad or worse than that. And they changed. We do have to remember that Jesus doesn't call you, as some say, come as you are. Well, you may come that way, but you better get ready to change, because you can't stay that way. God doesn't allow us to come as we are and remain that way. He calls us to repentance. He calls us to faith, an active faith, for it to change the way we believe, and that change in belief is going to change the way we act. And it's going to change that judgmental attitude that we have sometimes about other people when we realize that it doesn't matter whether my worst sin was telling a lie or whether my worst sin was murdering somebody, that sin will still keep me away from God if I don't get it out of my life, if I don't get the blood of Jesus to cleanse me of that sin. It doesn't matter. We're the ones that put these things on this judgment scale on sin and say, well, these aren't a big deal and these are. We're the ones that do that. God says sin. Your sin. To say which sin that was, just your sin, whatever your sin was, has separated you from your God. It doesn't matter whether that sin was snitching a nickel piece of candy at the dollar store, or whether it was robbing a bank for $5 million. Size is irrelevant. The action, the attitude, the heart, that's where the problem is. But we need to look at Matthew and that can be an example to us that we can change to. Regardless of where we've come from, regardless of where we are today, we can still come to Jesus, just like Matthew did. And we can change that bad reputation. We can come to be respected. You know, today, people read the gospel account that Matthew wrote, and they consider that to be an authoritative account of the life of Jesus. that Matthew was inspired by God to write that. The Christian world doesn't look down on him like maybe some of the people of the known time. But the same thing can happen with you. Oh, sure, there are going to be some people who will always remember what you've done in the past and who you were in the past, and they may never change. But you can leave a better memory behind. You can leave a legacy as a Christian that things are different. And the people, now sometimes that happens where somebody, wherever they grew up, maybe people knew how they were, and they moved away and became a Christian in another place. And the people in that new place who know them as a Christian could never imagine the way that those other people think of them. Because they think of them so highly now because of what they've become. We can be that kind of person. We can put the past behind us and move on to a new life. That's what Matthew did. He got up from that tax collecting table and followed Jesus. We can get up from whatever sinful table we're sitting at and follow Jesus. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, for whatever reason,